A statement issued this evening, the Navy said that never before had so many sailors been killed by a single rear. The time is 1:15, and next up on BBC Radio 4, Ways of Seeing with Henry Packer. Can you explain? You're a kind of visual arts person, Henry.
Thank you.
Can you explain to me how? This is quite a big thing for me to ask you, I guess. But human beings as artists, obviously, we started off mainly painting bison on walls and stuff, and we weren't very good at it.
Yeah, correct. Handprints.
Yeah, it's a hard.
So people say service to work on, though. I reckon.
Okay, well, it's true. So, yeah. But then we sort of carry on, and early art then looks quite weird. Like everyone looks a bit out of shape, and everyone's kind of the wrong perspective, and it looks a bit kind of manga-y and weird. Do you know what I mean? Like, and then suddenly people start doing like photorealistic paintings. But how did they suddenly just sort of? Not that that is the end of art, I know, but do you know what I mean? Like, how did we suddenly get good at doing it? I know this is what the Renaissance is, right? Or is it not? I don't know.
Well, I've no idea.
Good.
What the answer to the question is, so, but here goes.
Yeah, it's never stopped you before.
So, well, I don't really know, but I know there were breakthroughs in art and things like perspective. So that was like literally something that was worked out at some point, was how you do perspective, which is, you know, that something further away is smaller than something that's close.
But that's mad to me because that's very evident in when you look at things, isn't it?
Well, yeah, good point. We should have worked that out. But the thing is, but are you painting what's there or are you painting what you see?
Oh, my God.
Hello, I'm Henry Packer. Welcome to my Radio 4 series, which is going to have over 2,000 episodes.
We've got our new podcast spin-off. Tide Times is covered.
Yeah.
Henry Packer explores ways of seeing on Radio 4.
You need some pretentious background music.
That's it.
What you need, I'm not sure that
is the right music.
Oh, here we go, Mr. Musical Expert. So I can ask you the same question, Ben, as a music person. Why is it in the old days music was rubbish and people just hit bricks? Bones on rocks and stuff. And then only in the 80s could we suddenly hear in synth. Do you know what I mean?
But I think in music it's more obvious, isn't it? Because a lot of it's to do with technological advances and you can, you know, a trombone was created.
That's true. It wasn't discovered.
In the bogs of Siberia.
And that unlocked jazz from within us.
Like a sort of computer game. They unlocked the jazz level.
Yeah.
Here's something I will tell you about perspective, right? Which is, it was at some point sort of discovered, I'm not sure who by, but sort of worked out, that there are mathematical principles to do with geometry and stuff that to do with. So if you want to do a perspective picture, you know, you do a vanishing point. Do you know what that is?
I've heard of that, yeah.
No.
Well, so the lines of the two train tracks converge.
Yeah, exactly. So imagine,
and that's why there has to be some train tracks in every painting.
Yeah, that's why. It's the only way to imagine it. So imagine a set of train tracks disappearing into the distance.
That's why the Mona Lisa is actually sat on a freight train.
If you pull back,
if you go low enough,
yeah.
But again, that's folded under.
And apparently, they say that smile on her face is because she just found out that there was a buffet car.
And it was happy hour on teas and coffees. Crisps and a drink, £1.50.
She's experiencing
£1.50.
We finally cracked that inscrutable expression.
It's the exact level of happiness you feel when you realise that there might be a piece of fruitcake coming your way. So every painting underneath it, all the great masters, again, if you x-ray the painting, there will be some train tracks going to the distance and... mustachioed man twiddling one of his moustaches, and someone tied to the railway tracks.
Yeah.
And obviously that gets removed as part of the painting process.
By some sort of apprentice, usually.
By some sort of apprentice. All the people who work for Da Vinci, and they'd spend most of their lives. Yeah, there was one guy whose entire life, his entire life's career was just erasing those sunglasses off the suns. off Da Vinci's suns. So the vanishing point. And then if you draw lines coming, so if you draw, for example, a dog, just something standard, a dog.
A very long dog. Two very long dogs going into the distance.
You imagine two very long dogs. Yeah, disappearing into the distance. It's called foreshortening. You basically draw the lines of that dog's torso. Ben, are you with me?
Yeah, okay.
Bearing in mind a dog's torso goes straight into its thorax and then straight into its pelvis. There's no... You can't certainly tell the difference. So imagine it's a rectangle. Essentially, it's basically a slightly tapering rectangle, isn't it? It's a dog's body. Right. Where it tapers up as we move from the organs, of breathing,
yeah,
of breathing and pulmonary function,
yeah. Right?
And
if the wet noses of the dogs are at the same distance from the painter, then the tails should touch at the other end, right?
Exactly.
Yeah.
But basically, that if the dog's facing the painter, which my recommendation would be to do a dog that way around.
We obviously haven't seen Da Vinci's dog ass suite.
The dog ass is a Verona.
Very nearly got him excommunicated.
The Borgias had to close ranks, didn't they, to save his life on that. There was the famous dog ass wars. There was a lot of people were
that was about 14 years, yeah.
14 years of murders. People on different sides of the dog ass fandango,
as it was called at the time.
But the
so if the dogs are facing
the artist and the viewer, then that dog's nose might be, in real terms, on the painting surface as big as a wok.
Well, they'd often draw around a wok, wouldn't they? Yeah. And contemporary woks were much smaller then.
Well, that's why the wok's got a handle. You can hold it up against the painting and paint around it.
And let's not forget, we're talking about parallel long dogs here as well. That's important.
If the long dogs aren't in parallel, you're fucked, mate. Honestly, I would give up. I mean, even I don't think Da Vinci ever did pull that off. I mean... There's a story which goes, you know, his painting of a man in a circle.
Yeah, a naked man. Vitruvian man.
Yeah.
He's down the Vitruvian fun fair. Yeah.
That there's a rumour that was actually supposed to be the two Vitruvian dogs. and that if you x-ray that one, there's he had attempt after attempt to draw two dogs in parallel, but not quite in parallel. There's loads of scribblings and working out, and he actually wrote some swearing on it. He was so pissed off with how it was going, and eventually just
got his brother-in-law to step in instead.
He just got his brother-in-law to take his clothes off and stand inside a big sphere.
So, Henry, if the two dogs are facing the viewer,
So the dog, so essentially the dog's nose could be the size of a wok.
Mm.
But then as you foreshorten backwards into the distance, his tail.
Are you about to tell me that its tail will be smaller than its head?
Well, it's just to keep the wok metaphor going. His tail might be no bigger than a cashew nut. in literal terms, even in real life, the tail is bigger than the nose. But the way you've painted it is to replicate how it looks to the viewer. If you've ever viewed have you ever seen an actual long dog and been holding a wok?
Sorry, what's this got to do with the vanishing point?
Everything in the world, okay. Is disappearing on towards the horizon.
As we speak, that's happening right now.
As we speak.
That's why you should always be moving away from the horizon. If you've got any sense of self-preservation whatsoever.
You need to get running.
Get away from that. Moving. If you're listening, start running. Or get on a train.
Otherwise, you will...
But make sure the train's going the right direction.
Yeah.
And make sure the tracks aren't parallel, otherwise...
Otherwise, you'll be a dot. Basically, you'll very, very rapidly become a dot. But no, everything is disappearing towards the horizon in triangles and diagonal lines, disappearing towards a single vanishing point. So if you want to draw a long dog or a squat horse or anything, actually, you'll need the same principles, which is you draw its top and bottom lines, so the top side of the dog, bottom side of the dog. You don't just draw them randomly, Ben. You draw them towards the vanishing point because that's where they're heading. And if you do that, its tail will be tiny and its nose will be huge, but which will seem weird when you're doing it. But you stand back and you'll be like, fucking hell, is there an actual dog hanging in front of my painting? No, it's my painting of a dog. Bloody hell, that's realistic. Let's all go and get some Italian food. If you were Da Vinci, you might say that. And then you'd all go.
I don't think they called it Italian food back then. It's called it food.
Yeah. You've been listening to How to See with Henry Pinker.
The music we'll need for that program is the music they use in Radio 4's History of the World and a Thousand Objects.
It's kind of slightly offensively ethnic.
Yeah, offensively ethnic, just to conjure a general sense of exoticism.
Yeah.
In quite a colonial way.
Yeah, there'll be a Bolivian nose flute somewhere.
Yeah.
Some sort of ceramic whistle.
Are you hopeful that it will transfer to television, Henry?
Oh, I think it could. I think it could become one of those, like one of those 1970s series that they always talk about as having changed the world. And you look at it, I did this once recently. I watched
Civilization with Kenneth Baker.
Yeah. It'll always be
Tom Baker.
Why We're the Best by Sir Humphrey Winglington. I'd be a bloke in a sort of bow tie smoking.
Standing next to a big pot.
Who explains that
big pot.
Had it not been for a British ambassador gifting Leonardo da Vinci a pair of long dogs for his birthday, he never would have discovered perspective.
The power of pots and perspective. And last word on perspective is this.
That's a big claim.
Yeah.
I just want to put the perspective
debate to bed. Especially considering I don't think you've necessarily composed the thought yet from the way you said that.
I'm confident this is quite a big one, and there won't be any coming back from this.
Okay.
If I was to ask you, Ben, to draw two tomatoes, yeah?
Yeah.
What would you do?
Would you refuse?
Would you refuse? Seriously, Ben, can you answer the question? Sorry.
Okay. I'd take a pencil or another implement and then sort of draw a circular shape, or rather the shape of a tomato.
So you're not even going to bother to get a couple of tomatoes to use? To use as models?
No, because I'm fairly confident that I've seen enough tomatoes in my lifetime that I can
conjure the image.
Tomatoes.
Fucking arrogant prick. That's exactly. that's what most people think. But actually, try, Ben. As you start, you'll realise you've got absolutely no fucking idea what a tomato looks like. You think you do?
Should I do it now?
Is this how all artists have their confidence undermined at the beginning of their training?
Exactly. You have to break the artist down into his bare essentials with the tomato ordeal. Ben is about to be reduced to a quivering, whimpering wreck by this.
Beef tomato or cherry tomato?
Bloody hell, that's confident.
Well, how big's your paper?
Yeah.
And are you tracing?
Are you ready?
Here he is. He's presenting a picture. He's only managed one tomato, crucially. Okay.
So
he's not coloured it in.
That's not a bad start. So, Ben, now what I want you to do is...
Yeah.
I'm interested, by the way, to know how that tomato hung off the vine, bearing in mind it has no little mini leaves on top.
Mm. He's done a little stalky bit, though. I can see a bit of shading.
Pull it off, can't he?
Oh, yeah, sorry. Fuck. He's good.
It's got the little sort of, belly button thing.
He's the first person to pass the tomato ordeal I've seen since.
Turns out Benjamin Partridge could have been one of the greatest and most important artists of our time.
Do I need to draw the train track?
No. Well, I assume you've done them in pencil and rubbed them out. Have you done that without the train tracks? So now what we need to do, Ben, is to draw a tomato behind that tomato. So there's two tomatoes. Draw another one.
Does the front tomato completely cover or is that partially cover?
No questions, please. Draw the tomato behind the other tomato.
Okay.
So two tomatoes behind
the other. I'm happy to imagine there's another tomato behind your first tomato.
Well, if it was a smaller one, you wouldn't see it.
You just write it on the blurb.
Beef tomato concealing a cherry tomato.
Oh, that's a long way away, isn't it?
I can't see it. Have you done the other one?
Tiny dot just above it.
Oh, well done. It's miles away. It's on the horizon, that tomato. And there's nothing between that tomato and the other tomato. That's quite rare. You can get
one
tomato.
It's in a huge concrete hangar. Dedicated to two tomatoes. The largest of its size.
The Estonian Tomato Museum.
The point I'm trying to make quickly is a point about perspective, which is if you ask a child to draw two tomatoes, you put two tomatoes in front of a child and say, draw these, what they'll tend to do is they'll draw one tomato above another. So the piece of paper, you know, they'll draw a tomato and then underneath it another tomato. Whereas that's how a child will tend to draw it, because a child hasn't got its head around perspective now. Whereas a perspective conversant adult will draw a tomato and then behind it a bit of a tomato obscured by the tomato in front of it.
That's what I was going to draw.
Yeah,
until
yeah.
That's what.
So you've now assessed Ben's mental age.
So I've confirmed Ben. Yes, and you've drawn a face. Is that a penis nose? It's just a nose. You've drawn a face.
That's a penis nose.
It is a penis nose. Yeah, well, that's the next phase, which is satire, satirical art. And then if you write Boris Johnson underneath it, you can then you can then work for a national newspaper. but what you could argue is that, you know, has the child got it wrong to draw those two tomatoes? Because you've said draw these tomatoes, and the child has drawn two tomatoes, one above the other, and Ben, or most adults, have drawn a tomato and another tomato sort of slightly obscured, a bit of a tomato behind it. But which is the most accurate picture? Because the picture with the tomato obscured behind the other tomato, that's just saying I'm painting what I see. But if the job is to paint two tomatoes, I mean, there's nothing that's necessarily more authentic about, you know, what you're doing is painting the world as if the world exists from the eyes of Ben Partridge. What you've done is actually really quite narcissistic, Ben, isn't it? Because you've gone, the reality is how I see reality, whereas the child has gone, there's two tomatoes there. I mean,
maybe
the child
is drawing the tomatoes from the perspective of the tomatoes.
Exactly.
What about me having drawn a face on it with a penis nose?
Well, that's just, I mean, you can't, that's genius. You can't, there are no rules for that. That's,
you're channeling something higher there.
Yeah, that's pure creativity. That's you're touching the divine, aren't you?
I enjoyed that little lecture from you. That was very good. I could listen to Radio 4's Ways of Seeing with Henry Packer.
Well, write yourself.
Very genuinely.
Get us a jingle going on.
Hey, dick-a-do, dick-a-do, dick-a-do.